Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the midst of prehistory, before the gods existed, before time was measured, man waited to be given a destiny. But some waited a direct destiny. They waited to become the gods. Worlds lost in the tides of eternity were to become the battlegrounds of those destined to become immortal. Battlegrounds of those seeking communion with the heavens. Battlegrounds of the Shaman.
Ooh, the Shaman.
Wow.
The Shaman?
What gamer... Yes, Jamie, what game are they playing? That sounds, we should play that.
Yeah, let's play that game. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Play Retro. Yeah, that's right. It's your weekly dose of retro gaming. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson. And you know what? I'm going to make all you little weird mortals love me, even though I'm planning on flooding out your entire city. Oh. And if even then you don't love me, then I will throw you across the land like a rag doll. Do you understand? Yeah. Good. Now, get back to farming the dirt in my holy name.
That's what you do. And I'm your other god host. I'm a god. Little G.
Little
and
G.
If you think I have time to micromanage each of you little 8-bit peeps running around populating this isometric bitmap world, well, you got another thing coming. Mm. Now sprung on out of that house and get to multiplying or I'll bring down the wrath of me.
Oh,
earthquake.
Man.
Look at him, Dan Scott.
Yep.
I'm a good god.
You are a good god.
Good god.
Yep, you're benevolent, they say.
Yeah. The game tells me I'm a good god.
That's
anyway.
Right.
I don't know if that's true or not.
But. Old school 1989 video games tell you're a good god, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
We're going to talk
then,
about...
And then James Brown comes out and says, good god! And
yeah, that's
you know
right.
You're doing it right.
Yeah, he's not a good god.
Yeah.
He's an evil man. I don't know if he is or not. I have no idea. I didn't really know the guy.
How about this? His dance moves are wicked. There we go.
Okay.
Fair. Around. There you
I
go.
I can't argue with that, but I can tell you that Populous is on tap today. We're going to talk a bunch about the 1989 God game, the one that started them all, really, from Bullfrog Studios, which eventually became a whole bunch of other things. We'll get into the Molyneux minutia.
Yeah. Terry was James. What's his name?
His name is, now you made me forget. What's his first name?
Because I always forget it. It is Peter.
Peter, damn it.
Molyneux.
I believe it's Molyneux.
It's anyway. Molly and then new, I believe, is how you do it. Molyneux.
That's right. And even if you just come to the show today as a fan of like Fable or any of those things, you're going to get some primordial ooze that was the Peter Molyneux studios of the late 80s, early 90s, and where all that headed later. So stick around for that. To start things off today, I have nothing cool to talk about with retro things on the side because it's all Vegas prep from here. I'm just trying to get ready to go out of town and take care of this event and be there and work with Brian Ibbett and make TMS Vegas happen. It's just not giving me time for like anything else. I played a game that was kind of retro, but it's also brand new, so I don't even think that's worth bringing up. So, Brian, I'm a bad retro person this week.
Retro person. I had sent you a little, if you wanted to talk about it a little bit about that, this is 1989 when this game came out, which was the same year that Batman, that Tim Burton Batman movie came out. And I sent you that Batmania discussion that people were having back when they first cast.
Yeah. They weren't happy.
They were not happy with Michael Keaton being cast as the Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? And now that we look back, he's about to be in this new Flash movie coming up. Everybody's like, maybe one of my favorite bats.
Yeah. Do you want it? Do you want to hear? Because this is just, I'm going to play a taste of it. This is 1989, everybody. Adam West and some fans are reacting to the news that Michael Keaton will be Batman, which was taken about how you expect. You got to remember, even though the internet seems to make things more amplified, we've always been this stupid. Right. We've always been.
What we had up until this point was comic books, which was a lot of dark and broody detective type stuff. Then we had that 60s film with Adam West, which was the film and the TV series, yep, all kinds of a little bit goofy. And then we finally thought we was going to get a Batman movie proper. We knew it was going to be dark. It's going to be Tim Burton. And then they come out and go, Michael Keaton. What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Beetlejuice?
Mm. Yeah, we were all freaking out, but that's what we do.
We hear
Heath Ledger's the Joker and we all lose our minds and hate it.
Right.
But we were wrong to do that. And they were wrong then. Let's hear just a taste of this audio just for funsies. It'll play here. There you go.
Obsessive in his anger and fixation on revenge.
It's a little quiet.
But will he be portrayed that way in a new movie from Warner Brothers coming out in June? Many hardcore fans are afraid he won't. They have been writing hundreds of letters to Warner Brothers about the man cast as
Twitter
Batman.
Is blowing up.
Oh my gosh, dude. See, it's the same. We don't change.
It's still the same.
We don't change. The tools hundreds, do, but we don't.
Hundreds upon hundreds. No, just the 100. Like 100 people.
Yeah. You mean 20? 20? I'm sorry, 10? Okay, 4 people wrote in?
Right. Firing off angry handwritten letters to Warner Brothers about how you've ruined Batman forever.
Bat culture never will never be the same again. We'll never recover from it.
Now, later in that same clip, you get they discuss it with just average people saying, you know, he's not masculine enough. They go all the way down to talking to like some nerd, and he's all like, "Well, Batman's always been this and that and this," and you know, it's like, and it's exactly like today. Not a single thing has changed. We're still the same people.
Just like one or 2 years after the Frank Miller book, I think, after Dark Knight.
Yeah,
and so a lot of people that was Batman. And what they ended up actually getting, Tim Burton's Batman was like this weird combo of cheesy old school Batman and new broody Batman. And it all kind of felt new and interesting. Like
it was the bridge we needed.
It feels like it. Yeah. I think that's a fair way.
Not the bridge we asked for, but the bridge we needed.
Yeah. The bridge we needed was a bridge too far or something like that. Anyway, that's your information about that. Hey, let's get to what you did this week. You got an Amiga A500, I heard, the Mini. Is that true?
So I've been back and forth with this for a long time about the Amiga A500 Mini, I was like, you know what? Populous designed, developed, released on the Amiga A500 first, and I said, you know what? I got to have it. You know, I said A500, but it was definitely on the Amiga platform. Might have been the the A500 was mostly made for gaming.
Yeah,
so that would have been the one that you want to get. So I finally picked it up, about $120, and there's still plenty in stock, apparently. It's the A500. It comes with like 20 games, which is far too few. You can sideload games into the back of this bad boy with a USB drive. So that's exactly what I did. I went and I found an Amiga collection out there, and I loaded that bad boy up right on the backside after I updated some firmware, of course. And then I pulled out my tank. That's what they called this mouse, this big old giant mouse that's USB that comes with it. It's those two button mouses that you used to see, but it's not a ball. It is a modern mouse with a modern connector for USB, which you can hook up to your PC or your Mr. FPGA, which I kind of thought about doing. And then it comes with the thing that I didn't know was going to be so awesome. I don't know if this, and I haven't looked all the way through, but the controller that comes with this thing is it is absolutely the best controller out of all the minis that I've gotten. It is the A500 controller. This thing is butter. It is a USB controller, and you can plug it into the Mr. FPGA like I'd done before, and it
did it have triggers
good.
Back then?
I don't know if this is actually any type of factual. Look, the Amiga lasted a longer. Commodore lived on profitably in Europe much after we lost contact with them in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if this was a later pad that came along. But this thing is just butter smooth with this heavy, but not too heavy. The buttons just have this great. You know, you probably can't hear it, but it's just, it's just so buttery smooth with the pushing. It's a four directional pad with four buttons. It's got a home and a menu button. So like I said, I'm assuming it's not It's probably based on something, but I need to find out. I'm digging deeper. Hoping that on my trip, I can find a real A500.
Which way do you flip it? Do you flip it around so that the two triggers are out? Like, I'm confused about it.
No, it is kind of confusing where the cable is at, but no, you hold it like this.
Okay.
Yeah, like a normal controller with the little triggers and stuff. All right. But I was really impressed. This is how you navigate the menu. This is how some of the games work, but a lot of them, and it shows you little icons when you load up the Amiga A500 Mini. Right. It'll show you what it uses, whether it uses mouse or if it uses this guy, the little controller, or if it's multiplayer, single player, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Pretty slick package. It come well packaged. I can't recommend this enough. This is probably one of my favorite minis that I've gotten. And I like.
Did it come with that controller, you said? Or no?
It did. That's what it came with. Okay. It came with the mouse and the controller. And I like it a lot. And I'm planning on playing some more games on it. I didn't realize. Well, I did. That the selection of games, when I was playing them, I'm like, man, this was the Amiga? I don't remember it being this good. And maybe
people love that thing back in the day.
They do. Like this week when I'm doing my my homework for Play Retro, I had so many people on Twitch pop in. I've had because of Amiga. That's all you got to put. If you put it in the tag in there, Amiga, those people are die.
They swarm. Hard. Yeah.
They show up. Yeah. They show up. That's the community that shows up.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of fun with these people. And like I said, I'm on my trip this week. I'm going to try to see if I can find an Amiga A500. I actually did see one in Ohio, but it was about 2 hours away from where we're going to be staying at. And it was a pickup only thing for about $300, which the going rate for what I've seen for one working in this kind of condition, bad price. Mm. And but I just couldn't do it. I'm like, it's 2 hours there, 2 hours back to my hotel. That's 4 hours. I don't know if I can do that. Thought about emailing the guy and going, hey. You're going to be, Bob, you know, kind of this way a little bit, but you know how that goes. Sometimes people are cool about it, and other times people are like, I can't believe you would even ask. Yeah. I ain't got time for your bullshit.
Yeah, they don't want to bring that over to you. And they're not going to leave it on the street like your TV people you keep finding TVs from, you know? They're not going to put an Amiga 500 out there. That'd be weird.
Right, maybe.
Does this thing, so how many games on it? I meant to ask.
I think it's somewhere between 25 to 28. I'm looking for the box now. I think I threw it. Oh, here it is.
It's not terrible. It's all right.
It's not bad. And it's got some of the games that we love and we've talked about before. It's got the Alien Breed, which is a Team 17 deal.
Well, I remember that.
And it comes with 25 classic Amiga games included. Now, some of these things I'm not familiar with, but like California Games, know it, got it. Let's see. Quark, never heard of it. Or Quack, never heard of it. Lost Patrol, nope, don't know it. Another Lost World. Patrol. And like I said, once again.
That's familiar.
Worms Armageddon, I know that one.
Yeah, that's not even that old.
That's Worms something else.
Worms Armageddon might be the best Worms ever made.
Right. I'm not sure if that's that or not. It's got a pinball game on it. It's got some Simon. But anyway,
I
sideload this bad boy. And you can buy a thumb drive with like, whole freaking collection of these things.
I'll just
plug it right in there. And
does it have Populous on there or no? No Populous?
It does not have Populous. I did have to sideload, or I had to load that up. WHD load is what it's called. And it says right on the package, load your own load packaged games via USB. And I was worried at first because when I downloaded it, I went to archive.org. I grabbed some floppies and I grabbed some disk images. And the format they were in, it did not seemed to like it. I updated the firmware because it said that it would like it if I did. And so I said, okay. And so then it started loading everything up and Populous ran smooth, no problems. Such a great experience.
That's great.
Highly recommend this thing. Retro Games, I think, is the name of the company or something like that. RetroGames.biz. But I picked mine up off Amazon because I needed it fast.
You're an Amazon kind of guy. I get it.
Well, I mean, I got to have it fast, I'll usually order it from Amazon. If it's something that I can wait on, I'll usually try to order it direct from the people who are selling it. That way they can get the most amount of profit.
Sure.
But I didn't think I'd make it in time for the show this week.
Well, it looks great. I think that's awesome. I love the little tiny keyboard. I mean, the keyboard doesn't work, right? It's just like a fit.
Oh, no. That's always the thing. And if it did, what would you do?
Yeah.
I mean, the buttons are so tiny. You would just fat finger everything.
It's like having a, what were those called? The smartphones that failed.
Yeah, the slide phones?
No, the ones with they were a big deal. Not Raspberry. What am I trying to call
it? Oh, yeah. You're talking about the Blackberries.
Blackberry. Freaking Blackberry.
The Blackberry.
Yeah. That was what a fall from grace that was real quick.
Right. Anyway. But if you knew how to work one, if you had the touch, you could really get some stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, nothing wrong with people. Nothing wrong with the way the keyboards work. In fact, that was the biggest complaint when smartphones hit the market. They were like, I can't do this screen stuff.
Right.
But everybody, Google and Apple, were like, yeah, you will. And we did. So.
And we figured it out.
All right. Well, let's get into the meat of today's program. We've had a bun. Now it's time for the meat. We'll get to another bun later.
What happened to the lettuce, cheese, and tomato and that kind of stuff?
That's for later. We save it for later. Okay, we pull it to the side. We cover it in mustard and we do this.
Shall we play a game?
We shall indeed. Let's talk about Populous. You, the player, are God. Lowercase g.
Yeah.
And as such, has world-altering powers. All right? You can use this for the betterment of one's own devotees or the detriment of unbelievers. So you can be a nice, happy, friendly god in 1989 with tiny little pixel graphics, or you can be a total poo-poo head and rain down terror on your people, and there's nothing they can freaking do about it.
Complain, maybe.
Yeah. And this was a new thing. Nobody really... This was like new game type, new genre birth in many ways. And... I would say in all the ways that matter. And a lot of people, a lot of friends of mine, completely hooked on the game Populous. Here's what it sounded like when they fired it up. Here's some gameplay coming up. So, it's a very quiet game. There's just these like noises. Here's another one. And another one. Yeah, that's basically it. The game didn't have voice actors, didn't have a whole bunch of ambient noise. It just kind of had this occasional, you know, oh, it's flooding.
Yeah. And they were using the audio also to let you know when you were being attacked. Mm-hmm. There's a heartbeat going on that lets you know how your population is going against your rival god's population. The faster the heartbeat, the more urgency you should have is the other god is winning. And you don't want that.
No. But it was really revolutionary in its ideas. Like, I actually think the interface now is really hard to get my head around. I don't like it. Like a lot of games back then, they were trying new things. And, you know, we hadn't really perfected the way mice were going to work exactly or how a controller might handle this in the console versions. Like, we were just kind of newbies then. But it was about to blow up and get real big for them. And I think there's a new Populous game coming out, right? What's it called?
Oh, crap. There's Goddess. Is there a proper Populous game coming out? I'm not sure. I know that Peter Molyneux.
You're just going to call him Molyneux. It's fine.
I'm not going to call him the same name twice. Peter Molyneux. He was developing a 256 player version of Populous on his own time that I meant to go back and look to see if he had progressed any on it. I think he showed a little tease at the 2007 GDC Game Developers Conference from 2017 on the postmortem on Populous. If you don't watch those, they're here on YouTube.
Yep.
I always like watching the postmortems because they kind of the developers get up there and they'll talk about what happened, how it went right, how it went wrong, and no matter what their personality is right there for everybody to see. And this guy's Peter's known for being a little bit of a tail stretcher, maybe, like likes to stretch stretch the truth just a little bit.
Yeah, that reputation.
Has such a reputation that you can follow his Twitter account, his alter ego Twitter account, where they actively just post lies, gaming lies. It's not associated with him at all.
Lies. He's just saying ideas that sound outlandish, right? They're not.
The
lies.
Twitter does. The Twitter absolutely lies. Now, Peter Molyneux, he likes to embellish, right? Yeah.
And what I mean by lies is they're not lying so much as they're just making stuff up.
BS up. Yes. Yeah, so that's just a Twitter account. Which
they're
has
just saying, hey, here's
a
new idea for a game. What if coconuts were sentient and they ate, bongos for lunch or whatever? Like, because he's known for those crazy ideas, that account is amazing because it's just like
Peter Molyneux, part two. This obviously isn't him, right? That's what it says.
That's definitely
it's a parody
not him.
Account.
He's also known for I don't know, some real ups and downs. Like, Bullfrog did real well for a while and then kind of pooped out for a while. And then their relationship with EA got strained and they ended up doing some stuff with Microsoft directly and became a solely owned subsidiary with Lion. What was the name of the?
Yeah, Lion. Is it Lionhead? No,
Lionhead. Lion, that's it. Lionhead.
Is it Lionhead? That's right.
It's definitely Lionhead. And, did the Fable games. And I don't know where he is now or what his role is now. Anywhere?
Right.
Probably nothing. Probably just
He's doing something. This guy is he's always got his fingers in the baked beans. He's always doing something. He's always listening. I'm trying to look him up now to see what he's doing today, because me and you both are in the same boat. We're getting ready to both head on trips, and we studied as much as we could. And every week, it always surprises me and shocks me. I go, oh, we can cover Populous, no problem. And then I find out there's this huge, huge history behind it. And then I get totally lost.
There's always way more than you think, it turns out.
Right. Let's see. What is he doing now? Doesn't really say what he's doing right now. I'm sure if I went somewhere, we'd find out. Maybe we'll figure it out as we go along.
You know what the game reminds me of? The game is basically a land flattener simulator. You spend a lot of time making terraforming decisions, you know?
Right. And if you never played Populous, that's what it is. It's really, I mean, the smiting part and irritating and griefing the other deities, people, that's really the smallest part of the game. That's the thrilling part. Most of it is about terraforming the surface so that it can be flat, so that your peeps can build larger, bigger buildings, so that your people will become stronger, so that when they engage with the other people, that they will win. And so it's all about raising and lowering areas,
right?
And that's the whole game.
It's almost a game. I would argue it's like a puzzle game, kind of. You know,
it kind of is a puzzle. It's an environmental puzzle you have to solve. It's like, okay, if I up this many levels and make it flat, then this house will show up. If there's, according to how many grids around the house there is, it will then expand to the next technology tree, and it'll instantly just pop up. You know, it'll be the next thing. And you keep building it up. You go from hut to like a little stone building to like a big castle. And the big castle, of course, can hold more people. And that comes into play, especially later in the game. But man, you will just play this game forever, because it is such a slow grind that is so addictive.
Yeah,
I only got past probably the first four or five maps in this game, because you can sit down and play, you know, 2-3 hour sessions easy.
Yeah,
easy.
Oh yeah, without blinking an eye. This is one of those just one more time kind of games.
Yeah, it's because one way to win, and that's just like a lot of these strategy games we played later on, where you got to wipe out the other guys entirely. And one of the ways you can expedite that is, as you're going along and you're building your population, the more people you have, the more god mana you get. So you get a little bit of respect, and it starts sliding up across this bar, and you have god influences that you can do to the land. You can drown people, flood people, earthquakes. Yeah. You can, make people knights. You can inspire people to go in certain areas or to focus on certain types of task. Not directly. You can just have an influence, right?
Mm-hmm. I still say the Amiga version is the best looking version. The one I played was, I think, just a PC port, but.
Right. Did you play like a SNES port or the Genesis port?
I tried the DOS. So I had a really hard time getting DOSBox stuff to work for me at all this week. Yeah. So I played almost entirely the SNES game that was made.
I posted a link, if you go down in the notes, to where can I play this today. There's a place called PCJS.org. And you can play Populous right there. And you get to install it from the disc that are available. So you kind of you click on a couple of buttons, you install it, and it creates a disc image that you can then download and play in DOSBox.
Whoa.
I was blown away. So you can start playing in the browser. It's PCJS.org.
It's impressive.
And It really is impressive. It was actually not a problem playing this in the browser, in this, the DOS version. And then I got along a certain way, and I was like, you know what? What's this little button? It says download the image, and it's right there. It's the snapshot of what you got there. It's the IMG file.
That's awesome.
And you can just play that in RetroArch if you got DOSBox Pure. Fires right up.
Do you know the last version of Populous made? That's, I guess I was confused about what was being made. There is something coming out of X Lionhead, X Bullfrog people, and I don't remember what it is. But the thing I remember is Populous DS, which came out in 2000 freaking 8.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a long time ago. Yeah, I can't believe they've let this series sit like this, you know?
They've let it sit. But, you know, it is such primordial DNA that is really just found its way to being a part of so many games. Even though, you know, can you make just a flat God game now? I think you could, but it's kind of a risk, right? Because we have God game elements in a lot of other games.
I can't hear anything.
You can't hear anything. What happened?
I can hear you now. Sorry, my headphones.
Oh no! Did your Amazon used headphones? Did they screw you over this time for sure?
I don't know what I'm going to do with these. I don't like them. I think I'm going to return them because why? What were they thinking? Anyway, sorry. What was my point? Oh yeah, you were talking about how it's primordial ooze. I agree. A lot of games have taken concepts from it and integrated it in other ways, including some of their own follow ups like Black and White, which we'll get to later. Is this amazing game by Molyneux and crew that is basically Populous just with a slightly different take. And it's very cool. So yeah, I'm with you in that, like, who needs a new Populous when, 90% of city builders, management games, whatever, they all include aspects of of this original vision. My favorite quote, though, from back in the day was this. Peter Molyneux said in an interview that Populous was like it is, meaning the raising and drop, the terraforming aspect. He says that was in there because of my incompetence as a games programmer. He says the reason the feature raise the land, lower the land was there was because I couldn't get the little people to navigate around the coast of the damn game.
Right.
That's amazing. I love it.
It is amazing. And there's actually, I started real, there is just so much backstory. Not a lot of animosity, but you can read from some of the things that Glenn Corpus, who is also a developer on the game, he had started development of the game on the Atari ST. Mm. And he was trying to create the game mechanic. He was trying to create like a take on a game called Spin Dizzy, which is kind of raising and lowering blocks. And so he was kind of like making the engine for what this would eventually be. And then Peter, I'm going to call him this time.
Molyneux is the name. So think Molyneux. Molyneux, and you're good.
Right. Molyneux. So he got it and he figured out a way to kind of work that into a game. And like you said, trying to, you know, the damn people walking off the land, which they can do. And you could accidentally do just that. I made a mistake in my omnipotence.
Yeah.
I said I'm going to flood this my opposing god people, and I flooded them, and then my mana was still high, and so just a little bit later I did what's called Armageddon, I believe is what it's called, but you click on it.
Okay.
And what happens on Armageddon is everybody and all the buildings disappear and everybody on the screen heads towards each other and they all out fight. And if you have more people, more populace, you're going to win. And I did. And that's what I did. But what I did not take consideration was that I had blown away my land bridge from one side to the other.
Oh, we can't have that.
when I had flooded the place.
Yeah.
And so all my people were going to the water because I did have it turned on to allow people to drown.
Oh,
and so that's
shit.
What they did. They just all headed to the coast and went bloop, bloop, bloop.
That's almost as bad as in The Sims when I blocked the bathroom door with a new toilet I installed and the guy peed himself to death. Or held his pee so long it killed him. He died in the living room.
His bladder exploded and he died.
Yeah, yeah. And you could even look, I mean, honestly, The Sims, which is, you know, a decade later, Sim City, which wasn't too much far away from this.
Sim City actually was it 4 months before or 4 months
four
after?
Months
they were in development
after?
At the same time.
I think after, but I'm not positive about
that. They were in development at the same time. they were all on the same page. I think Molyneux also talked about this in some interviews. He says that when he was shopping this populist game around, everybody was like, "What? This? There's nothing like this. What is this supposed to be? How is this? You know, we can't get behind this." But he said other people were also doing simulation games along the same lines about the same time, and so it kind of boosted him in the eyes a little bit. And it's like, okay, this is like a trend coming. So
check out this awesome quote from 2015. Peter Molyneux was currently embroiled in a big controversy around the Goddess game, which we'll talk about.
Yes.
A little bit. They were
bad reviews right now still.
Yeah, terrible reviews. Mainly their business model for it was bad. But anyway, it was supposed to be the big second coming of this god game genre that that he helped invent. And in 2015, he said, at the center of this raging controversy, he said his regarding Goddess anyway, he says he has finished talking to the press, quote, "It's over. I will never speak to the press again," unquote. He's not talked to gaming press since 2015. He's done.
Maybe that's why we're having trouble finding out what his current status is, because that's where a lot of this news comes from, is interviews. And I read a lot of interviews. So that is interesting. I can't blame him but he kind of gets what he deserves. Because when you skate on, being sarcastic about things all the time and, dropping stories like, he really embellished the selling of Populous, which is fine. It's fascinating. But at some point in time, if you go too far and no one can tell if you're being serious anymore, it kind of can be disruptive, right? Yeah. So, and people can get their feelings hurt. It's like, hey, I worked really hard on that game, and this dude's over here, claiming it was baked beans.
Yeah.
He said
back in 82, or when he was working in 82, he was just starting to get into programming.
Yes.
He would have been like 18 or 19 or something at the time.
Yeah.
He started distributing and selling floppy disks, which contained video games for Atari and the Commodore 64. He believed that this was going to be a hot new thing. And so here's this quote. I love this quote. He was creating a game, a text-based business simulation game at the time called The Entrepreneur.
Yes.
And he says, in those days, you could literally call a game Space Bob Attacks Mars and sell about 50 million copies. So why wouldn't I do that, he says. Yeah. I mean, I agree. Why wouldn't you do that?
Why wouldn't you do that? People that say don't sell out have never had the opportunity to sell out. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, Give me the money. And it was a tough struggle because he jokes a lot, and he uses a lot of, you have to take it with a grain of salt, everything he says. But there are some things I do believe, because he talks about his EA deal that they only got like 10-12% of royalties out of the deal. This became EA's one third of EA's income for 89 was from selling Populous. Mm-hmm. He had to wait like 6 months, which wasn't totally unheard of for them to start giving him any money. So he knew he was rich, because this is a really fast, successful game, and critically and financially, really quick. And he had to see that success and not see any money from it for 6 months or something. And you can imagine being that age, being young like that, with all the expenses that come with all those things, waiting for that money. Mm-hmm. You've won the lottery.
Yeah.
You got to wait 6 months.
Yep. It's pretty weird.
That's tough.
But I don't think EA exists in the form that they went on to exist in, or even the form they're in now, without some of this early success on the backs of people like Molyneux.
They
like,
took a chance.
Yeah, they really did.
It really paid off.
But they did not have a happy ending, those two companies.
No,
he left there, and woo boy, did they! That was an acrimonious, horrible departure. Before they went and started Lionhead, and Lionhead's first game was black and white.
Yes,
He still had literally, a tiny staff.
It was literally black and white.
Yeah, it was literally black and white. He paid all the money up front for that, $6 million in dev costs to make that game. Yeah. Like he was pretty serious about it.
He doesn't mind taking a chance, and that's. People who are successful are usually those kind of risk takers, and he definitely a risk taker. Love it.
Yeah.
And I love this guy. I never played Populous. I never played it one time. I seen it. I knew what it was. I didn't get it. I'm like, oh, it's another one of these. But I did not know that it was the OG God game, and that when I started playing it, It felt just like when I first started playing Minecraft. The first time I can still remember vividly when I first started Minecraft, and I didn't read any directions. They just plop me right in the middle of something, and I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to do here? And, you know, I start chopping at something. I'm like hitting the ground. I'm like, oh, and okay, that's the game mechanic. I chop my hand and I chop stuff, and I'm like, okay. And then I walk over to, you know, different things, chopping stuff. I'm like, okay, this is dumb. I don't understand it. I hadn't gotten to all the crafting and the nuances, because this is one of those games easy to kind of figure out some of the early stuff, but then to master it becomes really hard. It felt the same way when I started this game. Like, what the hell am I supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
All I see is I can raise and lower land. And what is this crap over here? The tutorial was not a tutorial. Don't call it a tutorial if it's really just sandbox, because that's what they do. They drop you somewhere. They're basically just saying, this one doesn't count, but you can do all the things you normally do. And there's no directions or anything. You're still trying to figure out, what the hell am I supposed to do here? And you finally figure it out after you raise and lower some stuff, and, you know, the buildings reconfiguring, like, okay.
It sinks in. But that's how these games were back then. Nobody was like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You didn't have the memory.
No,
to put that in there. So
you couldn't
you have
do tutorials. You didn't have the internet to go to and go, oh, look at this huge resource of how to play the game. You can do that now for the game, but. But back then, none of that stuff existed. And even the manuals were, you know, usually a little bereft of detail. Yeah. So,
yeah, you've never seen this game.
Yeah.
If you've never seen this game, it's so exhilarating. If you like controlling tiny people on a board game, because that's what this is. It's got this book, open book on one side of the screen, and an isometric view that lays out the whole world. And then you got like this mana bar thing that looks like it's ancient. And it's got like this little bar that slowly scrolls up on the mana that shows you what different influences and you know, actions you can take. And then the middle screen where you navigate is just, it looks amazing. And like I say, everything else is like a board game. You could, like, where you're choosing the options for what you're going to have your god do, it looks like little places where you could, you know, just, you'd have little pieces and things. God, I want to play this board game. They made a Lego version of this. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that. How old's that? That must be not that
Lego
old.
Did not. It's older than Populous, because during the design phase, they made a Lego version of this to kind of like proof of concept it. And they said it sucked. But still, it was really nice to proof of concept it. And maybe some influences in how, you know, it clicks and navigates. And your experience is going to be different, by the way. I played a few minutes of almost each one of the ports for the Populous, the first one.
Yeah.
And according to the technology, like the SNES, Nintendo's always been really good at scrolling real time with their games.
Yeah.
No different here. You have like total control of movement, whereas like the Genesis one, it was kind of from point to point. It would like kind of jump a little bit, point, point, point. Game Boy was super like that. I don't know how anybody plays the Game Boy one, but if that was your favorite game, good on you.
Yeah, good on you I agree. By the way, the SNES version of the game, speaking of which, is pretty good. I played that the most because I couldn't get DOSBox to do what I needed it to do. This was fine. Yeah. I didn't play the Genesis version. I assume it looks similar.
The Genesis one was better.
Was it, do you think?
I think it was better. I played the SNES version first, and then I launched out the Genesis version, and I don't know exactly what was different, but I enjoyed myself more in the. I felt frustrated lots of times. I didn't feel like I could navigate around like I wanted to, which should be backwards because there's more buttons on the SNES controller.
Yeah,
maybe that's my problem. Maybe too many buttons.
Yeah, sometimes too many buttons is a problem, right?
Yeah.
Plus, they had a couple of years to kind of tweak it out. These console versions came out in 1990, I believe.
Right.
Oh, there it is. One year later. On screen. And I mean, you know what? I gotta go try the Genesis version now. I kind of like the contrast better.
Yeah, like I said, there's something about it. It just seems to work a little. Now, Bommy in the chat room, who Bommy is, he's saying that it was more modeled towards like the Amiga, which I agree, because I played the Amiga version and I felt very comfortable with it.
Well, and you're moving the mouse like a cursor, mouse cursor instead of using a grid, basically, what the other one did.
Wink, wink, wink.
Well, now you got me wanting to go back and try that.
It's an addicting game, man. I I kind of, it reminds me of stuff like Farmville, even though, you know, Farmville has more than just God game in it, but it's definitely got that addiction. I never knew that raising and lowering land would be so satisfying, but I could totally see myself doing this on a cell phone.
Oh, it can be, sure it can be super fun, no question about it.
Yeah.
So now let's dive into what was the sequel. It sounded like this. This is the whole game. Very minimal sound, weird heartbeat.
The whole freaking game.
Yep, some more bubble sounds.
Except when people die, and then it's...
Yeah, they do a lot of... I didn't capture too much of that, but it is a pretty big update in visuals.
Yeah.
Characters have more animation, the worlds look a little more detailed, all that kind of stuff.
It's a huge upgrade. If I was to say... If anybody was asking me, should I play Populous? I'd like peeking at first a couple of minutes just to look at the game mechanics, but you don't have to go through too many skirmishes before you just go ahead and graduate to Populous 2, Trials of Olympian Gods from 91. It is by far the superior game. It looks better, it plays better. You get to name your own deity instead of the first one didn't really deal with your character at all.
No.
You're just clicking on things.
Right.
It's implied. But here you're actually a god or a demigod. And you can name them and you can choose one of my favorite parts. It's still the same old isometric. It's still pretty much the same game, but updated visuals, like Scott said, you're still raising and lowering land. But at the very beginning, you get to choose your god, and you get to choose like their hair, their hair, eyes, and chin. Mm. And based on that, this blew my mind when I watched a documentary on the development of this thing. They talked about those have factors that influences the opposing AI. So if you pick an aggressive looking god, then you may end up with a different gameplay. And I'm like, wow, that's some attention to detail right
there.
Yeah,
it is. Jeez.
And, yeah. Wow. And I really dug it. I like Populous 2. Like, it's one you could really hang out with. It's Amiga, DOS, Genesis, SNES.
You know what I like about it? The water has waves. Look at that.
The water has waves, more animation. You start running into, you have more powers, and now they're categorized in sections, usually by like fire, water, and that type of thing. You get to choose early on. You get to level up your god, but you get to choose early on like what things you'll kind of specialize in. It's like, I'm a water god. And so you kind of choose I'm the god of water.
Yeah.
And there's a guy that does it, Poseidon, I think it is, but he's a real god, right? Not a demigod,
well,
right?
Poseidon was full god status, and he was all about water. He was ocean.
Right, right. Yeah. And so, but you get a lot of Greek mythology here and a lot of fun things to look at. The first one was pretty much just people, some trees, an ankh or a skull, according to which side you were on. In this one, you start getting flying Medusa heads, I believe, because at 75%, if anybody gets to 75%, suddenly these mythological creatures start showing up.
Mm.
And that's when it gets interesting.
It starts to kick off. Here's Poseidon taking a dump. There you go. That's a Poseidon dump.
All right. There's a lot of interesting things. You got the heartbeat is back again.
Yep.
And you got, like I said, you got all these screams and yells. The sound plays even a greater.
For sure. Because the first one was really sparse. So it was nice to have an additional. Now, this is one I did not play back in the day. Messed around with the SNES version again for this. It might just be I don't have the ROMs for Genesis. I'll have to go look.
You might
not.
Look at this. Look at these fire piles.
Oh,
like I said, there's.
It's great.
It's just the worst of God behavior, you know, the burning people, which, by the way, the animations, the little sprite animations, mm-hmm. this is all 2D still.
Yep.
The sprite animations are hilarious when they burn up. It's kind of like that old
cartoon.
Like the old cartoon stuff where somebody get gasoline on them, and then they would just poof into an ash or something, and they just like fall apart.
Usually Roadrunner, or Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a very fun, how do I put this? This might be the most ultimate God game-ish that the series would get, in my opinion, because what came next, which we'll talk about now, is called The Beginning.
In the beginning, it was darkness.
This lady's very quiet.
Then from the darkness...
Then she gets louder.
...came the mana. And with the mana...
Because, real quick, just to say, we were bad at sound mixing in the early 2000s, late 90s. We were bad.
We've talked about this before. This is 98, 99, Windows and PlayStation. So we got some multimedia.
Yeah,
we're going to get some real voice work.
Yeah, it's not like the voices are bad or anything. It's just the sound mixing. Nobody knew how to get volumes right. It was just a bad time. Right.
Weird
3D
graphics. We've moved into the realm of being real 3D. We're still isometric, but we got 3D graphics.
Yeah. So check out what she has more to say. Hang on. Here you go.
The visions. We were not alone. There were other worlds. Other tribes moving through the heavens like a plague.
Oh my lord, what a bunch of scary bullshit.
They were the plague? Who was the plague there?
I don't
moving
know.
Through like a
well,
plague.
There was a lot more war in this game. So that was the big difference. This game became more of a strategic war simulator.
Yeah.
Which a lot of populist fans at the time did not like, but this game is well regarded now. People talk about it in hushed tones.
It was still a good game, but if you're going in the steps of populists and going, let's refine it, they really jumped over and took a lot of things which were really popular at the time, like real-time strategy. The landscape was evolving. So it's still kind of, it's not really isometric now, right? It's kind of...
I mean, it is, but it rolls.
It's kind of top-downish, but it's 3D isometric, I guess.
It's an odd aesthetic, to be honest. Because it's not like what we think of when we say isometric today. But, whatever. It's new 3D. Everything looked kind of PlayStation-y. A little bit ugly. Yeah. Nasty-looking temple. Look at that with the repeating fire. Oh, this lightning bolt that just came out. It's all very dumb.
Is that what our face is on the top of this week?
Yeah, it's one of those. Although is it from this one? Yeah, it is from this game.
Right.
So I made this week's art. It's hard to make this art sometimes because some games we talk about don't lend themselves to making us characters. So I just put us on top of a couple of old temples, pixelated temples, and it's good enough.
There was, the market was starting to get kind of crowded, and there it is. And there, a lot of real-time strategy games are showing up. We've got 4X games in here now. So, it just wasn't the hot, fresh flavor, and it just did it okay. Looking back, of course, you go like, this was a solid game. This is solid gameplay, a natural progression of where populists should have been going. It makes sense in retrospect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the time.
Yeah, yeah, I think this kind of game is even further exposition could happen. Somebody could really, and I know they already do. There's a ton of games, God games out there. There's a million of them, indies and all kinds of different games like that. But I don't think anybody's captured the magic of the original stuff. Like they haven't
quite got
there.
I think we all had high hopes for Goddess, but I don't think,
Goddess didn't do it. Black and White did. Again, that's back in this era. And it doesn't, in a modern
Black and White 2001, if you've forgotten, that's right. It is 22 years old now.
Yep.
This is definitely in that vein of the retro stuff.
It's starting to look it too. I hate to say it. It's boof, man. I thought when I got it and I remember thinking, well, graphics will never look this good ever. Like,
right.
But look at these stupid little polygons. I mean,
oh my God.
The very least, like the little angel and the devil dude. They were at least, we were using Voodoo cards by then and had some early GeForce cards and stuff like that. So you kind of had some decent texture or GPU work going on, but it still was real. It's real low rent. Looks pretty bad.
Yeah, it's what's we are kind of getting into that the 3D growing years. We perfected. It's hard going from perfected 2D sprites that can look amazing to our first steps into 3D. It's bumpy.
It's an awkward phase. It's like kids going to junior. I go from junior high to high school. It's just awkward.
Yeah,
it's hard. Real quick, here's some sound from that game too.
How to move? Let's see. You move your hand in the direction you want to travel, like this.
So
finally, tutorial. Some real direction.
Yeah, it's some actual damn tutorials, man.
Right.
I finally got to it, but I remember having to upgrade my PC to play this. I remember it crashing constantly in Windows ME, and I had to reinstall Windows NT.
Oh, God. That wasn't the game's fault. That was Windows ME,
No,
right?
That is 100% Windows mess. That was such a mess. ME was a nightmare. Oh, my gosh. What a goof. They should not... You know what? Microsoft should never actually stop taking heat about Millennial Edition.
Right.
They can have a million other things. They got all these other great successes they can talk about. They can talk about the great success of cloud and Azure and Xbox and everything else. But somebody should every day, once a day, remind them that Millennium Edition came out and it was utter and complete garbage poop. It was so bad. Oh, look at these people. They're cracking me up. Anyway, Black and White. I think Black and White is the real spiritual successor to the populist games. It introduced this thing where you were a god, but you had these demigod type sort of creatures. Like, well, I like the monkey because he threw his poo at everything. And he's a giant, like, 12-story monkey that throws a shit at the villagers. And you control all of that. This game deserves... like tomorrow, if they said, if EA or somebody said, we're making a new Black and White, and we're gonna, I would lose my mind. I'd be so excited. Yeah, I would be worried because I don't know who's making it. Peter Molyneux is well off the, you know, the wagon here, so he's not going to do this. But I would play a new Black and White. Hell yeah, I would.
Oh yeah, we'd totally play that. But you know, bring it on. I'm still loving the populace though. Do I have room for a new Black and White in my life too?
Yeah, you know what? Yes, you do. I'm going to say you do. Although they could do it, like they don't have to do top down. You know, they could do a lot of things. You could do a freaking first person version of that game that just zooms out once in a while and lets you do weird stuff. But stomping through your town with your monkey and destroying everything and throwing a poop at the priest. I mean, what more fun can you have?
I played this the least of all the games, and I. Maybe because it was the last on my list. Maybe it just, I'm playing a shaman. I don't really feel like I'm playing as a god here. It's probably just like everybody back in the day. I had certain expectations and I had set them. By the time I got to this third one, I was like, I don't want Michael Keaton as Batman. You know, it was just, it is how it was.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's the way it is. Look, the announcement, I mean, even just the announcement of Black and White, I remember the gaming press losing it. Magazines were covering it. Everybody was talking about it. If we'd had the internet in the way that we have it now back then, this would have been just unbelievable news. If it happened tomorrow, Molyneux said, hey, I got the rights to Black and White, we're doing a new one.
Yeah.
Everybody would shit themselves.
They would absolutely Black and White their butts, right?
They
right
would. There. They'd freak out. So lots of honor and love and stuff in the direction of populists.
I stood in Fry's Electronics and debated on getting this game, Black and White.
Hell yeah, you did.
For at least 30 minutes.
Easily that, right?
I think I ended up just buying a copy of ME and going home.
Oh, well, then you made a horrible error. I'm glad you didn't play the game on your ME Windows box, though. It's a piece
right.
of piece
Right. I definitely made the wrong choice.
I crashed on that damn operating system an average of 5 times a day.
Yeah. I didn't. I don't think my ME experience was as bad as other people, but I did deal with a lot of other people using ME. Wasn't ME that... I forget exactly. I was already running like 2 or 3 different operating systems, and ME was just kind of like my play toy. And so,
well, I mean, they went so 98 was really strong. 98 was solid as a rock. ME was supposed to be the hot new consumer level thing. Right. But
I hit Windows 2000 before I even
Windows 2000
early
which was
build of 2000.
2000 was basically networking or NT edition.
NT, yeah,
and that was solid as a rock. No issues.
Yeah,
I don't know who's in trouble of ME. Or who was in trouble? Who was in charge of?
Who was in charge of it?
Yeah.
But we'll never know because he was fired and then buried under the building.
Yeah, he's not even, he doesn't exist anymore, whoever that was. What a bummer. That thing sucks so bad. Anyway, a lot to love. And the one I'm drawn to go back and play, now that you're telling me about the Genesis version, I think I'm going to go play a little of 2 on the Genesis to see how I feel about it.
Yeah, if I was emulating this, it's of course easier up and downing land using a mouse, but the Genesis was not bad. It controlled pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean it's funny the games that stand out when they're multi-platform back then. Every once in a while you'd be like, "Oh, well, I assume the SNES version's better because of these this and this and this." And it always turns out it's like, "No, Genesis version
surprise,
was better."
Surprise.
And then same thing on the SNES version. It'd be like, oh, I'll bet that Genesis really did that game better. And it turns out, no, they didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, because people were port. They weren't the same people porting half this shit.
Yeah, You had one team porting something over here, another team porting something over there.
Yeah.
If you got the right deal, you got a good game. If you didn't, then...
Or even like we talked about with Aladdin, 2 totally different houses made... The SNES version versus the Genesis version. And the Genesis version is the one that was like really critically acclaimed. And the SNES version was kind of meh. but they weren't the same game. They weren't even like bad ports of each other. They were totally different games.
And we've talked about this before. It's like the Super Famicom. Japan seemed to I won't get into it, but anyway, Japan seems to do a much better job with their stuff. I mean, if you win retrospect,
I tend to agree.
some of this Super Nintendo
stuff I agree was in they're the pretty US. Good at their ports and stuff.
Yeah,
good job, Japan. We love you. All right,
we love you. But why don't you love us back?
Love us back, Japan. What's your problem?
Wait, are you gaming on a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Okay, we are going to now move over to this and do this.
Destroy it.
Now, if you've never heard of this thing here that we do, it's called Guess My Game. And it's exactly what you think it is.
It's the bacon part of the cheeseburger analogy.
Yeah, we're in the bacon. And the bacon is really good. I like the bacon. The meat was good. Don't get me wrong. That was a well-done burger. But now we got the bacon. We're kind of upside down, though, I guess.
Oh, crap. I'm just looking at our hints. And either you copied my text or... We have the same year, same system.
We have same year, same platform. We totally
interesting.
Do. Yep. 1994 Sega Genesis. I'll start. I'll play some audio. You try to guess what it is. Chat room, you're please do throw your ideas out, but don't, Brian, look at them until you're done. Don't cheat. No cheating.
I can't wait to look at them. I can't even see the chat, so that would be quite easy for me.
Fair enough. Here's your audio. Again, 94 Genesis. Here we go. Stuff here in a second. We'll get to some gameplay. There's some pre-gameplay here. Here we go. Oh, did you hear that? Let me play that again.
Weapon collected.
Yep, isn't that?
Shotgun collected.
Shotgun collected.
Shotgun collected.
Okay. All right, I'll skip ahead some. Here we go.
Okay, so I got three questions, right?
Yep, you get three.
Is this a 4X game?
Not a 4X game, no.
Okay.
A lot of banging.
Right, is this... The banging part sounds more like a Contra game, but I don't remember any Contra game where you pick up items.
Oh, listen to this lady. She's going to give it away. Listen. Collected. Whoops, let me do it again.
Metapack, okay.
Pretty good voice stuff for Genesis.
What's that?
Pretty good voice stuff for Genesis.
Not bad.
Good. Yeah, it's not bad. I've heard worse.
Is it...
Handgun collected.
Yeah, lots of collecting.
Is this sci-fi?
Yep.
Kind of a sci-fi game?
Yep. Okay. That's number two question. Sci-fi game, absolutely. It's a game I owned. I wish I could find it.
Right. I'm curious if this is one of the other games that I had almost picked this week, which would be hilarious.
That would be pretty funny. Do you feel like you've done it? Does this sound familiar to like it, this stuff?
No, because I just read about it because I was trying to remember.
Yeah.
Is it, does it start with system?
No.
No, okay.
I'll tell you what it does start with, because I think that's a okay, fair okay, hint okay. to give you.
Does it start with the?
It starts with a number.
Oh, a number.
And I'll say that number is spelled out, not numeral. So it's the spelling of a number, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So like if the number was 4, which it is not 4, but if it was 4,
right.
It would be F-O-U-R, not a number 4.
Right.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay. Oh, interesting. That is a really good, interesting hit. I don't know, but that's a good one.
Yeah.
Is it... that's way too... What? 94?
Yep, Rainbow 94, 6? Baby. 94.
You said it started with something, though.
It was the year my oldest daughter was born. What the frick?
Right.
She has two kids now.
How about...
I'm old.
Two bad dudes.
Oh, let's see. Is it two bad dudes? Wait, two bad dudes? No, it's not. It's not Two Bad Dudes. Brian, let me tell you what it is.
Is it Three Bad Dudes?
Nope, it's not. It's not. It's no more than One Bad Dude, I guess. It is a movie or a game. Not a movie. A game called, I think we may have talked about it before on the show in a different context, but it's called Zero Tolerance.
Oh, no, and I don't know this at all then.
It was a first-person shooter in the way that Doom or more like Wolfenstein is a first-person shooter. It's definitely not real 3D. It's sort of fake.
Wow. What's this called again?
It's called Zero Tolerance.
I don't think I remember this at all.
And it's very cool. It kind of has a Total Recall vibe.
Okay.
I don't know what else to compare it to, but I played a bunch of it. And it's actually, my biggest problem with it is it's very chop-chop because that's how this stuff was. To do a first-person shooter on the Genesis, you had to create a fake little sliver window, and you had all this UI everywhere else, but this little window for shooting is weird.
I like how this sounds, but I don't recognize anything about this game. This looks not familiar at all, but the audio sounds familiar. Who made this thing? Because
I think it's Acclaim. I think so.
Is it Acclaim?
Let me see here.
Accolade was the publisher. Developer was Technopop.
Zero Tolerance. Brazilian game, Genesis. Maybe? Hold on. I'm trying to find if there's more detail to it than that. But one of the things I loved about it.
It looks like they also developed The Amazing Spider-Man versus the Kingpin, which is a really good game.
That maybe is a good game. Yeah, that is a good game. Yeah, maybe that's. This is a very weird thing for them, though. Let me see if I can find this old. Yeah, this intro is so cool. Check this out, chat. So it's like the words are behind this dude's very cyberpunk and you see his shadow. This is one of the coolest effects I've seen in a retro gaming system. It almost feels like they made it new, but.
That is way cool.
Isn't that awesome?
That's the Genesis, right?
Yeah, right? It's impressive.
Nice.
That game looked real good. I loved the hell out of it at the time. It doesn't play great now because, you know, it's D-pad and choppy gameplay and it's pretty forgiving. If you just fire in the general direction, you'll hit dudes. But I like that a lot. It's real good.
Yeah.
All right. That's mine. You lose. Let's now go to Brian and do
that's
his.
That's mine. You lose. Jump.
94 also. Genesis also. I won't ask one of my questions just yet. Let's see what we got here. Oh, weird. Is it a platformer?
It is.
Yeah.
An action platforming game for the Sega Genesis 1994.
Is it a Disney property?
You might would think so, but incorrect.
Okay. My third question would be, is it part of a multi-game, is it a franchise? Like there are other games in a series of them?
This may be the first. It is not.
It is not. It's a one-off. Oh my gosh. It's really familiar. I thought it was Mickey's, that castle Mickey thing.
Kind of has that vibe, doesn't it?
Yeah. Shit, I'm not going to get it.
What if I told you the character's name is Richard Tyler?
What? Really? The character's name is Richard Tyler?
Yeah.
Is it... Because this is not one of my questions, but is it a whimsical or more realistic approach to it? You know what I mean?
It's kind of one of those fantasy kind of whimsicals. You know what I mean? It's kind of lighthearted, but parts are kind of turned dark like your fantasy stories.
All right. It almost sounds like a Castlevania game.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll just say, is it a Castlevania game?
No, it's not.
Then I get a big poo-poo sound, too. Hold on.
Yeah, get a big old poo-poo sound.
All right. What is it?
Developed by Probe Software.
Yeah, that's Salt Lake Company.
Distributed by Fox Video.
Yeah.
And licensed by 20th Century Fox because they made the movie that this game is based on called The Pagemaster.
I remember that, but I still wouldn't have gotten it. I don't remember the sound.
But no, I was going down a rabbit hole, and I'm like, The Pagemaster, I remember that movie with Macaulay Culkin and Chris and Christopher Lloyd Wright.
Christopher Lloyd Wright. No, that's
Christopher
not
Lloyd.
It.
No, wait,
just
wait.
Christopher Lloyd, I think.
Christopher Lloyd. No Wright left in there.
No, not like Nathan. Yep, yep. Oh yeah, see,
it had Patrick Stewart and Whoopi Goldberg in there. This is one of those fantasies where he's a page master and he's going through adventures in a book.
Hmm. Okay, so when he Macaulay Culkin. Yeah, I guess that's right.
Yeah, Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, this looks okay. I'm looking at it right now. It looks all right.
I was shocked. I was like, wow, this looks really good. But it's late in the life of the Sega Genesis, so, you know, we kind of expect that. Platforming looks fun.
Mm-hmm. Nice animation.
You know,
yep.
Looks a little different. And it actually mixes in between side-scrolling platforming, and then you get to ride on a magic carpet in a few levels where you're kind of like going straight into some avoidance that you got to do.
Hmm. That seems great. Oh, and look at this weird slime grabber he does for ceiling grabbing. If you sit there too long, it lets go.
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
That's cool. It's very cartoony.
Yeah, very animated.
Which part of that movie, I believe, is as well.
Oh, is it? I never saw it.
Cartoon World.
Never saw that movie. Should we film something like that, or is that a bad idea?
We have not, but we need to, because I would love
that could be fun
to see it.
All right. Well, both Brian and I are big fat losers this week. We lost, okay? That's just the
big old fat losers.
Big fat losers.
Welcome.
Are we though?
We're winners in the end.
The winners. The listeners are the winners.
The listeners win every time. Sometimes they send us texts, and I'm going to read one. This came to 801-471-0462. This is from an anonymous listener who says, "Hi guys, I'm listening to the River City Ransom episode, and you mentioned the Dreamcast needed an adapter to go online. It actually shipped with a 56K modem. You could buy a separate broadband adapter. It's pretty hard to find now." Yeah, that's true. It did. I forgot. It had a RJ11 right there in it. It was built in.
But does that really even the internet?
I did it. That's how I played NFL 2K, I guess, was the one I played my friend. And it was sucked because Kim would pick up the phone and I'd go, honey, ruin my game.
It is such a, it is so amazing what we allowed to ourselves to suffer through during the 28K, 56K days. It's just,
it was rough.
Yeah. It's amazing what we would, allow our mind to sit and wait on things for that long.
I have now in this show alone, we have uploaded more data since we started an hour 24 ago. We've uploaded more data here than my 56K modem at home downloaded in probably 8 to 10 months.
Right.
Like it's really that exponential. It's crazy how different it is.
Yeah.
Now. And when I complain, like earlier, I had some problems with my internet earlier this afternoon and I was super pissed about it. But I remember I had to remind myself, I'm like, are you kidding me? Do you remember what it used to be like?
Right.
What we had to do?
So crazy. Yeah. And it was that even really the desperation that was gaming real time on dial up is just, just a totally different experience.
We used to play. I played Dune with my friend up the street.
Yeah.
And we played over modem lines and it was
we did too.
Great until Kim picked up the phone.
It worked great until it didn't, and then you think you would complain about lag now. Oh, boy.
No.
The excuse is we flew. But I was lucky during this time that all of my friends were also into computers, and so we had LAN parties.
Oh, yeah. Got to do it that way. That's the way.
It would be rare for me to look at a console and go, yeah, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to dial into my Earthlink internet, and no. Let's get our PCs together on a big old 8-foot folding table and some monitors.
Yep. Carry those big ass CRTs from home. Boom.
Yeah.
Yep. Those were the days. Look, kids one day are going to get old enough. They're not going. None of this is going to make sense to them. And we're going to throw around rooms or words like when I was your age, token ring was the standard. You know,
there was token ring.
They're not going to know what to do with that information. No, it seems so foreign to a young person now. Oh, I just said young person. What is that? What is that?
Them young people, young persons.
Ugh. I
look forward to the days when I can look a middle-aged man in the eyes and go, how you doing, young man?
Yeah. Yeah. I look forward to that. Look, if I grow old enough to be somebody who can do that and walk up to like a 48-year-old and go,
yeah.
Well, hello, son.
How you doing, young man?
Yeah. What's up, son? What are you doing?
What's up, son?
Get out of here, Grandpa, he'll say. He's already old himself.
I'm old, too.
I'm also old. Get away. Here's an email from a listener named Peter. This is not Peter Molyneux, though, so don't worry about that. Or Mayanals.
You're getting my name wrong.
He says, why is he Australian?
I don't know.
he's British. Anyway, Peter says, playretroshow@gmail.com is the email address. Says, hey, you two, I wondered if you have done the Oregon Trail. Thanks for bringing me these games and keep going, says Peter. We have not, but we should.
We should totally do the Oregon Trail and see if we can die for some dysentery. What do you think? It's an interesting question. I've thought about this a couple of times. I'm like, how engaged could I be with Oregon Trail to do an episode?
There's a lot there, dude. Because here's what happened. The basic constructs that would make up the game Oregon Trail, as old as it is and as archaic as it is, that game so influential on even games today. There are modern RPGs and other games where, like, I'm playing this game called War Tales. Just came out, brand new game. It's been in early access for a couple of years. Just now hit 1.0. All intents and purposes, brand new game, new engine, beautiful game, all of that. But it's basically low magic medieval Oregon Trail. That's what that game is. Like, it steals all these ideas from that. It's like, well, if you do this bonus, you're going to have this problem. If you don't take this bonus, then you won't have the problem, but you won't have the bonus. Like, it's all these choices you have to make, and shit comes up that you can't control. And you're like, oh, shoot, we just, you know, ran across a bunch of diseased brats or whatever, and now we got to deal with it. Like, there's so much, I think, Oregon Trail DNA.
I just spent a week up raising and lowering land, and I'm complaining about Oregon Trail.
Yeah. No, Oregon Trail, a lot of people just brushed it off and said, well, that's an education thing. People play that at school or whatever.
The first released in 1971. How do you feel about that?
I mean, that makes it even more interesting. And the new version of that game that's on Apple Arcade and Steam and a couple other places, it's like a modern take on it. Extremely good version
of that
game. Would
this be the oldest game that we've reviewed?
If we do it,
I think it would be.
I think it would be. Let's do it. Let's get Oregon Trail in there.
Yeah, you don't scare me. I'm down with it. Oh, it looks like for a while it was also just called Oregon. Interesting.
Oh, weird. It's also, there's a game now called Oregon Trail, which
Oregon Trail,
which
that's
is
great.
Like, it's the same idea, but you're in a zombie wasteland.
Right.
And that's done in the graphics of the old 70s, 80s version of the game. So that's pretty cool.
I wonder what the 1971 version versus the Apple IIe 1985 version.
Oh, it's probably
You would think so, right?
Yeah. You should see the new one. It's beautiful.
Is it?
Okay. Oh, yeah. It's still, they it's very much to the spirit of the original. Like, it's not like they went crazy or weird with it. It's just this mix of beautiful vistas and weird pixel graphics and...
Right.
It's a very cool take. The Steam version is very good.
Game Loft did it, so that's, you know, I usually like the stuff they do. They usually do some pretty
good stuff. They've had a couple of real hits. They did that. They came up with here recently anyway. They did the Disney, what's the Disney one that everyone loves right now?
Oh, that
it's like a thing called? It's like farm it's kind of like Animal Crossing.
Magic Kingdoms?
Is that it?
Disney Magic Kingdoms, right?
I think that's it. Whatever that is. Yeah. That's very popular. It's on Game Pass and on other services. It's great. So Game Loft used to be the company I hated because they were just made, you know, free to play garbage on mobile, but they've gotten some cool stuff. So
They stuck around. They had some, they had a dream. I always like that Asphalt Games they had. I always load that up on a new phone. I always think I'm going to like playing racing games
and then
my phone and then I hate it.
Then you hate it. Yeah, I do too. If I don't have a controller, freaking forget it. I can't.
Yeah. Oh, God. Do you remember when cell phones were thinking it would be really cool to use those gyro sensors in there? And
you're wrong.
You had to steer with your phone. And I'm like, this would be great, except this is also my screen. So I have to I have to turn my head every time I turn it. So
they were dead wrong about that.
Yeah.
It was never going to be good. Right. Unfortunate bit of circumstances there. All right. I'm going to say it's time for this. Thanks for your feedback, everybody, by the way. That's awesome. Our next discussion. After Vegas, after Daytona. Or not Daytona. Dayton.
Daytona. Dayton.
It needs an A, and then you'd be Daytona, I guess. We're going to come back the very following week. So we're going to do a little special one-off on the weekend I get home. So Brian and I will put that together on Saturday or Sunday, whatever it is we're doing.
For them Patreon supporters, they're going to hear all about our Vegas and Dayton trips, yep. right?
Well, everybody will hear it. It's for everyone.
Oh, everybody's going to hear about our Vegas, but yeah. there'll be pre-show.
Yeah, there'll be all kinds of pre-show.
There'll be really blue, only the patrons.
Yeah, the dirty stuff. We keep that for patrons.
the stuff we brought back from Vegas.
Yep.
That and we said we weren't going to.
Exactly. We're going to leave there, but they changed that whole slogan now. So now it's something else.
Right.
Now it's if you fart in Vegas, you can smell it in Idaho. I don't know what it is.
Oh,
I have no idea.
Wow.
But when we get back and we're back on full track, we'll be doing MDK. Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
MDK. Do you hear me? You hear me, people?
Murder, death, kill. And this is just a game that just totally took a left turn. It's like, oh, everybody's doing this one thing. Guess what we're about to do. And we've talked about these developers before.
Yeah. Dave Perry. Yeah. Other guy?
Yeah.
Forgot the other guy. What's his name?
Yeah, there. But they had worked on Aladdin and Jungle Book and Earthworm Jim, who we just talked about recently.
Yep.
And we're like, we're out.
Then he went and made Gaikai streaming tech and sold it to Sony.
Yep.
Made a lot of money doing it.
Made some money.
There's still talk of an Earthworm Jim revival, but I don't think MDK is on that list. So maybe we'll figure out why, or maybe we'll make a good argument for why MDK needs some love in 2023.
Yeah. Or maybe we'll be wrong. We'll play it and we'll go, oh, yeah. Thank God we didn't go any further.
It might be shit. Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah.
So that'll be next week here on Play Retro. Not next week, but the week after. And like we said, a little supplementary episode in between, which Brian and I will record and post as soon as we can after that trip. And I'll tell you on that show, by the way, we'll tell you all about what we, like Brian said, the stuff we saw arcade wise and all that, because we're kind of hunting that down on this trip. You know, we're going for it.
I'm going to the retro game store, see if I can find me an Amiga A500. Maybe I will, maybe I won't, or maybe a Jaguar. An Atari Jaguar would be nice too.
Ooh, that'd be cool. Get the toilet, though, the toilet CD add on. If you don't do that,
I can find the toilet.
Who are you even if you can't find the toilet? All right, that's it for us. Thank you all for listening. I hope what you do from here until then is play something retro. And we'll see you next time.
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Populous.
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 Shh. Sean Tootle.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsinis.
I'm Kayla Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.